We'll go on to the fifth case of the day, Phillips versus Quebecor World RAI Incorporated. Good morning, Ms. Hines.
Good morning. May it please the court, we ask this court to consider two key points in reversing the district court and sending below to grant summary judgment to Ms. Marquita Phillips. The first point is, because of Quebecor's admissions below, Ms. Phillips' attendance record is irrelevant. And secondly, Ms. Phillips did place Quebecor on notice of her need for FMLA leave, and because she was not allowed FMLA leave, she could not have been terminated as she was. Expounding further on my first and I think the most important point for this court to consider, during the briefing and arguments below, Quebecor admitted that it terminated Ms. Phillips for having more than six absences. The document in the record, her termination notice, which is page 52 of the supplemental appendix, also reveals that her total points assessed against her at that point were 6.5. Now, these 6.5 points did include the 1 point she received for her attendance for that October 2003 absence that is the subject of this case, which should have been an FMLA qualifying event. However, Quebecor's brief and their main argument on appeal contradicts this, and given their admissions below, it is our position that their argument in this court is frivolous and that costs should be assessed.
You know, we have several cases that say that an employee does not trigger the FMLA by simply saying, "I'm sick." How is what Phillips did any different than that when the doctor's note that she provided failed to provide any information at all about her illness?
Well, there are some key differences, Your Honor. The cases that the defense cites for saying that an employee who just notifies the employer that she or he is sick is not enough to trigger FMLA are cases in which there was no medical documentation of any kind provided. What happened here was Ms. Phillips turned in her doctor's note, which is, page 55 of the supplemental appendix. The doctor's note said not only that she would be off work 5 days, but it indicated that she had seen a physician. In addition to handing in that doctor's note, she also told the human resources representative at Quebecor that she was sick and going home. Now, it is our contention that under cases in this circuit, most recently the Kaufman versus Federal Express Corporation case decided last year, that once the employer has some medical information that in this case that she was going to miss work for 5 days and that she was sick, that triggers the employer's duty under the statute and the regs under the Family Medical Leave Act for them to ask for further certification. Now, they have an opportunity to do that under the statutes and regs, but they should do that within 2 business days after the leave starts. They did not do that here. They did not make any request for any medical information. The supervisor did not ask her what her health condition problem was now.
But how do we get around the fact that Ms. Phillips had already received a final warning about her absenteeism? Shouldn't she have done more than simply say, "I'm sick," and then, you know, fail to come back for several days?
Well, Your Honor, the short answer is no for 2 reasons. One, because of the admissions below, her attendance record is completely irrelevant. They admitted that they discharged her for having more than 6.5 absences. But secondly, Ms. Phillips gave the employer all of the information that she had at the time. She told them she was sick and that she was going to have to miss work for 5 days. The cases that the defense cites attempting to mousetrap the employer are cases in which the employee somehow withheld information that she already had. Here, all Ms. Phillips knew was that she had had trouble breathing, that she had been prescribed antibiotics, that the doctor told her to be off work for 5 days, and she told the employer that she was sick. She didn't know what the problem was. And in fact...
But neither does the employer. They don't know there's a real problem here until 9 months later.
It's our position, Your Honor, that the doctor's note saying that she needed to be off work for 5 days should have triggered the employer's duty to inquire further and to request medical certification. Because if they had done that, if they had asked for that information from the doctor, they would have gotten the information that the doctor said she had had trouble breathing, she had been given antibiotics, and they would have eventually found, as the record below indicates without contradiction, that she eventually had surgery to remove a tumor from her head, which was causing a gland to secrete extra hormones and interfering with her troubles breathing. And so when that tumor was removed, the problem ceased.
Pituitary tumor?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah.
So all she knew at the time that she told the employer was sick was that she was sick. She told them that. There was nothing more that she could have given them in her layperson's terms that she knew. If the employer wanted the medical information, they had a route to do that.
Now, she only missed 3 calendar days, right?
She missed 3 scheduled days of work, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. However, she was incapacitated for 5 days, and she did lose out on her opportunity to work overtime. At the time, the employer was requiring that employees work at least 2 out of every 4 weekends of overtime. And so she was not able to work overtime the Saturday or Sunday during that 5-day period. So we believe she's established that she had a serious health condition under the Family and Medical Leave Act because she's established that she was incapacitated for more than 3 days and that she received continuing treatment in the form of a prescription for antibiotics.
How has she proved that when she only misses 3 days of work?
Well, the incapacitation was for 5 days, and that included 2 days while she was at home. There was testimony in the record that she was not able to engage in ordinary activities. I will save my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Duffin?
May it please the court. I'm Bill Duffin, and I represent Quebecor. The FMLA sets forth a notice and verification process in which the employer and the employee together ascertain whether the employee is entitled to leave protected by the FMLA.
Let me interrupt you, because your brief says that Quebecor maintains a policy for FMLA. Where in the record can we see the policy that Quebecor maintains for FMLA? Because it's not in the portion of Quebecor's leave policy that was reprinted in Phillips' appendix.
The only place it's in is in her deposition, in which she admits she was aware of it. The policy itself is not set forth in the record. But she concedes that Quebecor had an FMLA policy. There's evidence in the record that she had requested and received FMLA leave in late April and early May 2003. She's not disputing that that Quebecor has an FMLA policy. The first step in that notice and verification procedure is that the employee provide the employer with notice of a request for leave for a reason covered by the FMLA. She doesn't have to know. She doesn't have to mention the FMLA. She doesn't even have to know that the reason she's giving is covered by the FMLA. But the information she provides to the employer has to provide the employer with notice that what she's telling us is something that's covered by the FMLA. Here, she points to 2 things. She points to the fact that she told her employer she was sick when she was leaving, and that she gave this doctor's note. As this court has already acknowledged in the questions, the doctor's note simply says she was going to be off work for 5 days. And what she wants this court to do is conclude that that information and nothing else, with no information about what the nature of the problem was, no information at all about whether she's got the blues or what it was that caused the doctor to give her that note, triggers a duty of inquiry on the part of Quebecor. Here's the problem with her position. The FMLA makes a distinction between absences of more than 3 days that are not covered by the FMLA and those that are. Those that are covered by the FMLA have either a regimen of continuing treatment or a visit with a healthcare provider two or more times. So it recognizes that not every absence that is more than 3 days is covered by the FMLA. Here, when she provides Quebecor with a notice from a doctor saying, I'm going to be out for the next 3 work days and the 2 weekend days after that, but nothing else, and when asked, as she's presenting the note, what's wrong, when she says, only, I'm just sick, I'm leaving, she hasn't given Quebecor any reason to believe that she has gone from the one category of folks who are absent for more than 3 days but who are not covered by the FMLA into another category, those that are covered because they either have a regimen of continuing treatment or they've seen a healthcare provider two or more times.
Well, why is her own testimony that she was prescribed antibiotics insufficient to demonstrate that she was under a regimen of continuing treatment?
Separate issue. She didn't tell us that, for one. So on the notice issue, she doesn't say she ever told Quebecor that. But getting to that issue, which is, has she come forward with enough information? Had we asked, would she have been able to come forward with enough information to indicate she in fact had a serious health condition? The answer to your question, why isn't that good enough, is the FMLA doesn't require employers to simply take employees' word for it. You can ask for certification, information proof that what they're telling you is correct. Now here, Quebecor never asked for that at the time because it didn't know that based on the information she was providing them that they should have asked. Ms. Hines would say, well, somehow they've waived that, and it now gives Ms. Phillips a free pass at trial, so she doesn't have to come up with any evidence. She doesn't have to come up with the prescription or any evidence from a doctor or a pharmacist or a note from a doctor's file backing up. She just simply gets to come in and say, I was prescribed the antibiotics. And unfortunately for her, the statute specifically says the employers don't have to take your word for it. And even though it says, generally, we want you to ask for that certification within a couple of days after you're put on notice that they're seeking FML leave, it does specifically say, but you can ask for it later when it becomes apparent that maybe there's reason to believe this is not a reason covered by the – that you're looking for some verification. You want some evidence of it. So the problem with her case is twofold, threefold, really. First, the notice that Ms. Phillips provided to Quebecor did not put Quebecor on notice that this was an FMLA-protected absence. And merely focusing on the time period of the absence ignores the fact that the statute requires more than that. The second problem is, even if they had provided notice, what would we have found out? Certainly wouldn't have found out about the tumor, because by her own admission, she didn't even know about that till July 2004, 7 months after she was terminated, 9 months after the absence at issue. Moreover, there's no indication, no evidence in this record that she even had a tumor in her head in October 2003 when she was absent, or that her absence was somehow as a result of that tumor. So we never would have found that out. What she's saying you would have found out had you asked me is, you would have found out I was prescribed antibiotics. But again, her position is, but now you've waived your right to ask for proof of that, and I don't have to come in with that. And if that's the law, certainly that's an extension of any holding from this court, and it would essentially, well, it certainly would establish bad public policy, but what it says to employers is, be careful. If you get a doctor's note that doesn't set forth the medical information or the reason for the leave and just says, we're going to be out a few days, be very careful. You better ask the right series of questions, because if you don't, they're going to be able to later come in and say, well, yeah, you asked me if I had been prescribed antibiotics, and I told you no,
but you didn't ask me if I'd seen a doctor a couple of times. And now I'm going to come in and I'm going to say I've seen a doctor a couple of times, and I don't have to produce any evidence to support that. I just get to come in and say it, and I get by summary judgment, and I get to trial. My case is me, and no documents other than this one document from a doctor that says I got to be out a few days. So the problem with her case on the serious health condition issue is she has no admissible evidence, despite ample opportunity to produce it, despite the fact that it would be under her control. She hasn't come forward with anything other than her word that she was prescribed antibiotics. The last point is, this woman was guilty of habitual absenteeism under the Quebecor attendance policy. A week, less than a week, before the absences at issue, she had received her second final warning for exceeding more than 6 occurrences in a 12-month period of time. She was gone again. They didn't fire her, even though they had the right to fire her at that time. She was late a couple more times. They continued to give her slack. And then in February 2004, when she was gone again, they finally say enough is enough, and they let her go. So even if this absence doesn't count, she was guilty in violation, and the company had its right under their policy to terminate her employment. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Duffin. Ms. Hines, 3 minutes.
First of all, I need to correct a misrepresentation that counsel has just made before this court. He has indicated to this court that the supervisor asked Ms. Phillips, when she presented to go home and said she was sick, that he asked her what the problem was and that she didn't tell him. That is absolutely false. The testimony that is undisputed in the court below indicates that her supervisor did not ask her what her problem was. He did not request any medical certification. He did not say anything except he just let her go. When she gave her doctor's note to the human resources person, again, there was no question, what's wrong with you, what's going on, nothing like that. I don't know where defense counsel has come up with that, but it's clearly not in the record. Secondly, this court has very astutely noted there is nothing in this record that shows an FMLA policy on the part of Quebecor. We asked them to produce it. They can't produce it. It's not in the record.
But did she concede it?
She conceded that she had previously taken FMLA leave when her son was ill. And she also testified, uncontroverted, that she did not know if the FMLA applied to her for her own personal illness. They can't show otherwise, and they've presented no testimony to contradict that. We have her testimony, again, uncontroverted, during her deposition, subject to their cross-examination, where she testified both to having been prescribed and taken a course of antibiotics in conjunction with this October 2003 absence. And we also have her uncontroverted testimony, again, subject to cross-examination, that when the tumor was removed from her head in July of 2004, that resolved her breathing problems. Thankfully, she has made a full recovery and she's fine today. But again, Quebecor had the opportunity to find out everything that Ms. Phillips' doctor knew that Ms. Phillips didn't even know. They had a simple form available to them to provide to her once she turned in that doctor's excuse. An absence of work for 5 days is very significant. It's not just, I have a cold, I don't feel good, I feel sick, like some of the cases cited by the defense. As I said, in Kaufman, decided just last year by this court, the court noted that while there were some gaps in the doctor's note, that there was enough evidence to show that there was a period of extended absence and doctor visits, and that if the employer found that certification to be incomplete somehow, that it must then, under the regs, provide that employee with a reasonable opportunity to cure that deficiency, whether or not it had requested either formal certification or even if it just said, give us more information. Why do you need to be out sick for 5 days? It didn't do that. And we believe that this court should not allow them to come back and retaliate against Ms. Phillips for that.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.